Good evening. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord tonight. Our scripture, Brother Josh, has asked that we read from is John 17, 1 to 19. John chapter 17, 1 to 19. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Let's kneel for prayer. Good evening. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ here this evening. I guess maybe you're wondering why I'm up here, and to be honest, I'm asking the same question. But Brother Glenn asked me to, I guess, help him out here and take one of his turns, and wasn't real anxious to do that, but also wanted to be willing to serve and help out, and probably a little easier to do when it's a couple weeks away. And then, as it got closer and I was working on this, I was struggling, and to be honest, I was tempted to call Glenn and ask him if I could still back out, but I didn't do that, and had to keep reminding myself that, I guess with God, all things are possible, and yeah, so it's only through Lord's strength here this evening that hopefully we will have, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll have a message for you this evening that hopefully will be a challenge and encouragement to someone. So the title for the message this evening is Purpose and Identity in Christ. In the passage that was read, Nathan read for us, we were reminded how Jesus never forgot who he was and why he was here on earth. His purpose was to do the will of his Father in heaven, to make eternal life possible with God and glorify his Father in heaven. And he was always about his Father's business, purposing to glorify his Father. So the question I have for us tonight is, who are you and why are you here?
We live in a culture that is experiencing an identity crisis. Many people are wandering through life, not really knowing who they are and why they are here, what their purpose is for being here. Who we think we are and who we allow to give us our identity will affect how we live our lives, the decisions we make, the way we express ourselves, and how we find purpose and meaning in life. So who are you, who am I allowing to give us our identity and purpose? Our true identity can only be found in God, who made us, and who God says we are. But that is not the message that we are hearing from the world around us. If we don't want to accept who God says we are, the world is more than happy to give us an identity. In fact, the world will give you multiple choice. The world says you can choose to be whoever or whatever you want to be. You have the freedom to choose to how you want to express yourself. They say do whatever makes you happy. So we have men identifying as women, women identifying as men, some identifying as either or, some people identifying as cats or dogs or trees, etc. Culture around us also tries to give us our identity by getting us to conform to its styles and its fashions, its values, its goals, and even its attitudes, which all promote and glorify self. Satan also tries to give us our identity by speaking lies into our mind and trying to convince us that they are true. And we need to renew our minds daily and to renew our minds with the truth of God's word and not allow ourselves to believe and think on the lies that Satan gives us. He often tries to use our weaknesses or our failures to define who we are and to get our focus off of Christ. And just on a personal note, I mean, this is something that I often can struggle with. Seems like Satan tries to use my weaknesses and my failures to get me down and to get me distracted from my purpose in life and what God wants me to be doing, and gets a focus, I guess, on myself and just on my own weaknesses. But God can use our weaknesses and our failures even for His glory if we rely on His strength and His power working in us and through us. Satan also tries to get us to find our identity in our accomplishments, in our strengths, and any of our other successes. This is also self-focus and most likely pride. He may tell us to find our identity in our financial status or our social status, whether it's good or bad. He may tell us to find our identity in our occupation or even in our family name. Who God says we are and what Who does God say that we are and what purpose has God given us? For many people, purpose in life is reduced to seeking our own happiness, our own personal happiness. As we read through God's word and study the life and example of Jesus, we see that He always had the goal of glorifying His Father in heaven, submitting to His Father's will, and living out His purpose for coming here to earth. So as we go through the message tonight, I hope we can see that our main goal and purpose as humans, especially as believers, is to glorify the one true God. Even our understanding of our identity and purpose as Christians needs to be understood in light of who God is and our overriding goal of bringing Him honor and glory. And it's only in the unchangeable truths of God's word, of God and God's word, that we can find our true identity and purpose. It is only as we find our new identity in Christ, as new creations, that we can truly live out the purpose that God has for us as believers. So I listed six truths here of our identity and purpose in Christ, and there are many more that could be mentioned and focused on, but I'm just going to go over six here for this evening. So number one, we are made in the image of God. Number two, we are born with a sinful sin nature, condemned to eternal death. Number three, we are saved by grace through faith. And number four, as believers, we are changed from slaves to sons. Number five, as believers, we accept a change of allegiance. And number six, as believers, we love because he first loved us. So number one, we are made in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, 26 to 27, I'm going to read that here. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So I still don't fully, completely understand what all it means to be made in the image of God. And hopefully I can continue to grow in that and learn more about that. But I do believe that it includes the fact that we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. We are spiritual beings. We were given a living soul, and we live here on earth in a physical body. As a spirit, we are part of a spiritual realm that is bigger than what we see here on this earth around us. As a spirit, we also have a desire to worship someone or something. We are made by God and for God. We're created to worship God. But if we do not choose to worship God, we will find someone or something else to worship. In the beginning, God created us for the purpose of worshiping him and bringing him glory. God also gave us a living soul, which includes our mind, our will, and our emotions. The fact that God gave us a soul, I believe, shows his desire to have relationship with us. We were created for relationship with God, but also for relationship with other people. God gave us the ability to think and reason with our mind, with the purpose of learning to know and understand who God is, how much he loves us, and why he created us. He gave us emotions as an expression of who we are and as a part of developing a relationship with God and with other people. God also gave us a free will and the ability and freedom to choose how we use our mind, our bodies, and our emotions. God did not make us robots that automatically and always did what he wanted us to do. He could have, but he chose not to. I believe God desires for us to use our minds and our bodies and our emotions to worship him and bring him glory. But I believe he also desires for us to do that of our own free will. He desires us to choose to surrender our will to his will. And there is something, I believe, about us choosing to worship, choosing to surrender our will, and choosing to use our minds, our bodies, and our emotions for God and for his purposes and his glory. I believe it shows he is a God of love and of grace and mercy, and he has desire for a relationship with us. And we also know that one day that will change and every knee will bow and worship God, whether they want to or not. But only those who choose to surrender their will to God and worship him and serve him will have eternal life with God. So God created man and woman in his own image and likeness. They were the crowning glory of his creation. They were given God's authority to rule and manage all the creation, all that God had created, and they brought God glory as they had relationship and fellowship with God in the garden, as they enjoyed God's creation and obeyed what God had commanded them to do. And just another thought I had along with God's image and glory, it was in 1 Corinthians 11:7, it says, "For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." And we often reference these verses in regards to the principles of headship and modesty. And that's right. And they also, both these principles, I believe, are also for the purpose of bearing God's image and bringing glory to God rather than pursuing glory for ourselves. And doesn't the world get that, try to get that backwards? The world is all about promoting ourselves and bringing glory to ourselves rather than reflecting glory to God. So then back to Adam and Eve, then a little bit later in Genesis, we see that as man disobeyed God, man's relationship with God was broken. Sin separated man from the presence of God, and man failed to bring God glory as God deserved. There was a spiritual death that day, and Adam was also condemned to a physical death as well. Number two, we are all born with a sin nature, condemned to eternal death. Every man born since Adam is born with a sin nature. We are all born sinners, condemned to death, born with a spiritual barrier between us and God. There is nothing we can do on our own to remove that barrier or make ourselves acceptable before a holy God. Even our own best efforts of righteousness are not good enough. But praise God, God made a way to remove that barrier. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God's love and God's gift of grace through the righteousness of his own Son made the way. He is the way and the only way. Number three, we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So there's a lot packed into these three verses here, and take a little bit of a deeper look at these. So first we have the gift of God's grace. And I know grace can sometimes be abused, but may we never take for granted or underestimate the great need that we all have for God's gift of grace. If grace would not have been extended to us, none of us would have any hope of redemption. No amount of our own righteousness or good works would ever be good enough. Then we also need to remember the important truth of our need for the continuing work of grace in our lives. God's grace continues to work in us as we take steps of faith through obedience to God in our lives. It says we are saved by grace through faith. So just like we have the redemption through a living faith that produces the action of repentance, baptism, and trust in Jesus Christ as the only way to come to God for salvation, we also need to have a living faith that produces actions of obedience to Christ as we learn how to abide in Christ and walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. And I have really enjoyed and benefited from our study of Romans that we have recently had during Sunday school lessons a few months back. Romans talks a lot about the relationship of faith and works and how true life, true spiritual life, can only be found through learning to walk and live in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. If you all turn to me here, we'll read Romans 8:1-6. I just want to look at a couple of these verses here in Romans. Romans 8:1-6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We see the key there is walking in the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things, or set their minds on the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the challenge here is, you know, what are we setting our minds on? Are we learning to walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh? It takes a connection to Christ by surrendering and yielding our will to the leading, guidance, and control of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it is only by the power and help of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we can live a righteous and holy life. And it starts in our minds with a choice of the will. Are we setting our minds on the desires of the flesh or on the desires of the Spirit? And that's a challenge to all, a challenge to myself. What are we setting our minds on? Also, look back here at verse 10, Ephesians 2. I read that, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So here it also speaks a part of our identity and purpose in Christ. It says that we are his workmanship. We are a new creation in Christ, created for the purpose of good works. And why? We see that in Matthew 5:16. It's for the glory of God. It says, "For let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So it's not for our own, to earn our own salvation or to make us look good, but to bring God glory. Number four, we are changed from slaves to sons. Galatians 4:5-7, "To redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So as believers, we are no longer slaves to sin in the flesh. We do not have to be controlled by the flesh, by sin. But we are changed from slaves to sons and daughters of God. Jesus changes our identity, but also our benefits. We become a part of God's family. And we receive the Holy Spirit as being a part of joint heir with Jesus Christ. And the Spirit gives us a direct connection to God, our Heavenly Father. God desires for his children to communicate and fellowship and have relationship with him. And the Spirit also intercedes for us on our behalf to God. Romans 8:26-27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself speaketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So the Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf to God. The Spirit also communicates to us from God. And it's important for us to be in tune with God's Spirit and seeking and listening for his Holy Spirit to speak to us. Number five, as believers, we also accept a change of allegiance. As believers, born with a sin nature, living according to the desires of the flesh, we are actually serving the God of this world, the kingdom of darkness. Once we are saved, born again, we have a change of allegiance. We are now serving a different kingdom. John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." As we think about the kingdom of God, it operates, the way it operates is counterintuitive to what the world teaches and what our flesh desires. Jesus taught a kingdom of upside down thinking and actions in the Sermon on the Mount. I've enjoyed reading through and studying the Beatitudes, and Beatitudes are all attitudes that are opposite of what the world teaches and promotes. Everything Jesus teaches there is opposite of our natural reaction or our first response many times. Jesus told a kingdom dominated by love and selflessness instead of a kingdom centered on serving and promoting self. This new kingdom living is not easy, though. It takes the power of God through His Spirit living in us. We can't always do it on our own. We need the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit living in us and His power living through us. We have to abide in the vine and stay connected to Jesus Christ. It takes a daily, moment-by-moment choice to walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. It takes an application also of the first beatitude, poor in spirit, and my brother mentioned that this morning, of poor in spirit, which poor in spirit is basically a combination of an attitude of humility and total dependence upon God, a lot like a poor, needy, helpless beggar needing to beg daily for his very sustenance. Also, number six, as believers, we love because He first loved us. 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And then also down in verse 19 it says, we love Him because He first loved us. So hopefully as we begin to realize and understand all that Christ has done for us and given us, it will create in us a deep love and deep and genuine love and gratitude in return for God. But also true love is also a choice of the will. As we learn to know God, who is love, we can choose to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And we can love others also the way God loves us. And that should be our purpose and our goal. That is the best way, I believe, to spread the gospel and build God's kingdom. But we can only do that as we are connected to God and allowing His love to flow through us. We can be a channel of God's love to other people. John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So why does it matter who we are and where we find purpose? And it's actually not so much who we are, but whose we are. We are Christ. We were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So as Christians, we bear the name of Christ. We represent Christ to the world. It has been helpful to me to remember whose I am and why I am here. Finding our identity, purpose, and strength in Christ should make a difference in all of our daily decisions of life. And just a list here of just some practical applications, I guess you could say. So it makes a difference when we face trials and temptations of the flesh. It makes a difference what attitudes and responses we choose. It makes a difference how we manage our time. It makes a difference how we manage our money. It makes a difference what we read and what we watch, what we fill our minds with and think about, what we wear, the places we go, and the things we do. It makes a difference what we place value on. It makes a difference what goals we have, how we do business or work our jobs, where we find success, where we find fulfillment and joy, how we view relationships, how we raise our families. So in closing, let's just keep reminding ourselves and each other whose we are and what purpose, and purpose to always live for the glory of God, our Father in heaven.
Thanks, Josh. I know that's something I really needed. That's something I can struggle with at times, because Satan does have a tendency to take our failures and cause us to doubt who we are and who we are in Christ, because what we are in Christ is so much. And I like that verse in Galatians 5 there. I think he commented on, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ." That really stood out to me a lot. So I had to think, you know, it's good to have the right identity for ourselves. But then my mind always goes, I always try to do a search of my life, and I think, but what if I ask the people of the world to tell me who's my identity, whose identity they see in my life? Does it really reflect Christ? Is it really who he is? I was listening to something this week, and it kind of goes right along with it, I think, thinking of our identity and who we are in Christ. And the person was talking about being a disciple, and the definition he gave for being a disciple is, for me to live my life as Jesus would live my life if he were I. For me to live my life as Jesus would live my life if he were I. And then he says, imagine Jesus were in your sandals. He had your job, he had your family, and he had your amount of money. I thought that went along pretty good with the Sunday school lesson this morning about storing up treasures. What would he do with it? What would he do with all that stuff if he were us? And that's how we should live our lives. And if we can live our lives like that, our identity will be in Jesus Christ, and we'll have the world just being attracted to us a little bit more, I think. All right, let's stand for closing prayer, please.